You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, we are joined by Mr. Scott Pollack, the founder and CEO of Pollack Financial Group, whose goal is to empower clients to make better and more informed decisions. Mr. Pollack, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Good. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Looking forward to hearing from you today and also learning a few things from you as well. So in your opinion, for starters, what is the biggest mistake people make when it comes to their retirement planning, and why do they even need it?
Well, there's lots of mistakes people can make. You know, the overarching thing that I'll say is they put too much money in their plans. And people would say, well, that sounds a little strange. I'm supposed to put a lot of money in. But I try to get people to think out of the box and critically. And they put too much money in their plans. And perhaps if they segmented some of the money that they put in the plans and put it outside of the plan, they may be better off for a number of reasons. I want people to think, I don't want them to follow conventional wisdom. And I want them to think critically about their finances and what they do with their contributions. So I don't necessarily think that you should put as much money as you do in the plan, because if you put money in an after-tax account that grows tax efficiently, then it gives you a lot of benefits for liquidity, access to that money for health reasons, for a wedding. And you can basically invest that in all different kinds of asset classes. So I would caution people to think, just really think about their situation and see if it makes sense to put all your money or maximize your money in a 401k, because the 401k is like a ticking tax bomb. Okay, the growth, if you think about it, the growth on that money when it comes out is taxed as ordinary income. The growth on an after-tax account, okay, you pay capital gains on. So there's a lot of reasons tax-wise why you just may be overqualifying your assets. So that's just something, a conversation that I typically have with my clients, just to make sure that they understand that what their options are, and it's important that they understand what they own, why they own it, and the options that they have. So the biggest mistake, to wrap that up, is just challenge conventional wisdom. And don't just follow the crowd. And Wall Street and the media pollutes your thinking into putting more and more and more in retirement plans. And that's not necessarily the way to go. And it has to be, this advice has to be customized to your situation and just make, like you said, that I advocate, is to make informed decisions. So that's what I'd say is the biggest mistake. It's just critical thinking and challenging conventional wisdom.
Now, I always hear you need millions to live comfortably, especially since we're all living much longer. Now, let's face it, most people don't have millions, obviously, or even much extra to put aside. How can you help in these regards?
Well, you're right. People think that way. And I try to say, again, don't think in terms of millions. Think about what you can actually do with what you have. So through discovery and understanding the assets that folks have, we try to break it down and say, what do you really need to retire? Okay, how much do you need to retire? Well, the answer is you have to close the gap between the guaranteed income that you receive, for example, from Social Security and pensions. Pensions are pretty obsolete these days, but if you have a pension, that's fixed income. Social Security is fixed income. So, for example, you have a couple, and they each get $25,000, receive $25,000 each for Social Security. And I say you have to find out what your expenses are. So if someone says, well, I need $70,000 to float my boat. Okay, so think about it. You've got 50, 25, and 25. So retirement planning is just replacing income. And the gap between what they need, which is they tell me $70,000, and what they're actually going to receive in terms of guaranteed income is 50, there's a gap of $20,000. So that's not so bad. So how much do they need in a retirement fund, in a nest egg, to produce $20,000 to close that gap. Well, at 5%, you just multiply by 20. So you need about $400,000 to save to be able to replace that income. So basically, you don't necessarily need millions, but the point is you have to, how do you eat an elephant, right, one bite at a time? You have to sit down, take an inventory, and just figure out what you can do. But the main thing I do is I tell my clients, here's your homework. Come back in a week, 2 weeks, and let me know, what do you spend? What's your budget? I don't like to use budget because that sounds too restrictive. I say, what's your spending plan? And a lot of people don't even know. They don't think about that. But they come back with a spending plan, and that's where we start to break it down and look at it and get real and try to figure out how they can retire comfortably and they don't outlive their assets. So I would say don't sweat it. Sit down and don't just think, oh, millions. That's just a way to escape and be in denial that I'll never retire. Everybody can retire. Everybody should retire. Be able to retire comfortably, and I'll help them. An advisor will help them sit down and quantify that decision.
Now, shifting gears just a little bit, tell us, why are you an advisor and why did you choose this field of work?
That's a great question. I would say that I went to school, college, and I studied economics and psychology, and I really had no idea really why. I liked psychology, I liked economics, but I didn't know what I was going to do with it. But basically, I call the business that I'm in as a financial advisor in financial services, working with clients, is financial social work. I like to help people. I like to help people. I like to understand. I like to build relationships. If you think about it, I'm working with three generations. I'm working with grandpa, the kids, and the grandkids. And that's very rewarding. And the catalyst that got me into the business was when I worked at TI Cref in the 90s. And a couple came in, and they were famous scientists. They had like $1.5 million each. And they said, Mr. Pollack, what can we do with this? Is this real? And I thought that was odd because they shouldn't be asking me what they can do with it. They should say, gee, we've got all this money. Here are our dreams. Here's what we want to do. Here's just how my vision of retirement looks like. And then they dumped out 7 years worth of unopened statements, kind of to make a point to me that says, look, I don't really know about this. I don't care. I've sort of put my, it was like an ostrich with my head in the sand. And that said to me, these people woulda, coulda, shoulda, if they had some advice at 7-800 number, then perhaps they could have even done better than they did. And so that's what compelled me to say, let me see if I can get in this business and have a niche with educators, higher education professors. And the practice basically is called educating the educator. So again, like you said, that's my goal, is to empower people and clients to make better and informed decisions. So, I know it's a great business. I'm glad I finally found my niche and my calling in life. And I'm real, real pleased that I've chose this profession.
And I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are appreciative of what you do. No doubt. Today we're joined by Scott Pollack, the founder and managing partner of Pollack Financial Group, LLC, a wealth management firm that has been serving the Montclair, New Jersey community since 2005 here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Pollack, what other services do you provide other than advising folks on their financial planning?
Well, part of the relationship is really, again, challenging conventional wisdom. And one of the things that I encourage people to look at is real estate. So I might give them some advice on investment real estate, owning a condo, apartment building, and the benefits of that. I was involved with real estate in the 1980s and did rather well and have an affinity for real estate. So that's sort of out of the box that I say, you know, take a look at real estate. Another service I provide is I received a designation of the Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy, a CAP, about 7-8 years ago. And basically I call myself Robin Hood. So we go out in the community and I work with not-for-profits and help them raise money. So my clients are also nonprofit boards that need, that want to be a little bit more tax efficient and raising major gifts. So that gives me a lot of gratification. As far as the investments go, I offer what I call home cooking, and what that means is that I customize a portfolio using themes.
I have a millennial portfolio of stocks. I use a artificial intelligence model and a social responsible model. So based on these themes, clients connect, and I want them to have some connection with their own money. At the end of the day, they I really want them to take ownership in their stuff and basically empower them to make better decisions so they can ultimately fire their financial advisor. That's kind of a joke, but but I think that it's important for people. I also advocate, I use a, you know, it's part of the services I think that people need is they want to, I say clean up your financial act with SOAP, where it's an acronym where S stands for simplify your life. Everybody needs to simplify their complex lives, so simplify your life. O stands for get organized. We all need to get organized. Certainly I do. A stands for aggregate. Pull all your stuff together. We create a customized website for all of our clients where anything with a username and a password can be aggregated, and with a click, they'll have the whole financial world in front of them so that we can P. So simplify, organize, aggregate, and P is for plan. So we do the plan and then back into what kind of investments and portfolio they'll need to carry out their plan and build basically like a blueprint for the future. And that's really important as far as the service we provide is to give people an overall view 24/7 that they can get their arms around what they own, why they own it, some of the options that they have. So that's basically the main services. But at the end of the day, it's being accessible. Saturdays evenings, I live a block from the office. And I really want people to know that I care, that I'm thinking about them, someone's watching the store, and that they can always look to me for advice on really anything. It's like a people call me a financial Sherpa. Like in the Himalayas, the little Sherpa man is guiding someone up the summit, anticipating the obstacles that he will face going up to that. The summit, and my job is to guide people until they arrive safely at their destination or reach their objectives. So, yeah, now there's a lot of services, but I would say it's all about the relationship, and the services that are built into that relationship is what really counts to clients.
Now, you offer a very personal approach for your clients with some pretty great tools. People are very cost conscious, as we know. What would you advise as the most effective bang for your buck pricing model?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say that for me, I don't have a set model. What I do is I find out what the client's needs are, and I say, you know, I'm like a tool, if you will, that use me in any way you need to. And so basically that boils down to three models. If somebody, I say there's three kinds of investors or people in life. There's do-it-yourselfers, do-it-for-me's, and do-it-with-me's. So the do-it-yourselfers are like, they don't know what they don't know. That's fine. They want to do it themselves as far as the investments, but they need a plan. I'll put those folks on a retainer for a year. Charge a nominal fee of maybe $500 to $1,000 based on the complexity of their situation. And basically do the plan, like I said, the SOAP method, simplify, organize, aggregate, plan, build the customized website for them. And that's a fee-only model. Okay, if they say do it for me, okay, the do it for me's are they will sign paperwork that gives me discretion, and I will charge an asset under management fee. Say, for example, a 1%, and that's for my labor, and then I'll build a portfolio. The labor is the 1%, and the product, it's just like labor and materials that a contractor would say. That would be the total cost of the plan. And then the third way that I can get compensated, again, it's their choice, is the do-it-with-me's. I really want people to do it with me because I think they need to take ownership of their own situations, and the more that they know about this, the more comfortable they're going to be with their financial situation. So I say that to do it with me, and it's customized, and I don't make any adjustment to the portfolio until we have a conversation. So basically, to sum it up, it's fee only, assets under management, okay, or the do it with me, which is a collaborative effort. And I would say that that's really up to them. What suits them best, and I'm happy to work on any basis that they'd like me to. But again, it's through discovery, finding out how they want to work with their advisor and work with me. So that's really the I would say the best bang for your buck. And transparency is so important. The first thing that I talk about is fees. So I'm sort of like an onion. I peel back the onion and I say, this is what fees are all about. This is what you have to look at. Here's what the perspective is. So people really want to know that up front. And I think that's a real important thing for people to know, the cost of what they're paying for and the value that they're getting. I always say that cost is only an issue in the absence of value. So you have to line up and be clear on what the value is and what their expectations are, meet their expectations, and the fee becomes really secondary if you're doing your job correctly.
And your price point is certainly fair and affordable, and really appreciate your joining us here today. A lot of good information to think about as well, and thanks for what you do in the space and there in Montclair, New Jersey. In conclusion, love to get your take on this, and it certainly would be of help to our listeners as well. How do people know if their financial advisor has a clean regulatory record?
Well, that's a great question also. It's become much easier. Usually when you go to people's website, you will see on all websites, there's something called, it might be hidden on the website, but it's called Broker Check. FINRA, don't ask me to what the acronym, but FINRA is our regulatory body, sort of like the SEC, the financial advisors. And they have a website called Broker Check. Okay, so if you went to FINRA.org, it'll bring you to the website, and then there's a tab. You hit Broker Check, and it will ask you for the name of the advisor. You just put his first name, his last name, and they may say, like, where is he? But you hit click, you'll find, say, for example, me, Scott Pollack. You'll find me, and then you'll be able to see my history. If there's any dings, if there's anybody has a written or a verbal complaint about me, has to be reported, and that's going to show up on your transcript. So you'll be able to see the whole history, where I've worked, how long I've worked in various places along my career, and if there's any complaints, any problems. And I think that's a really important thing, because most people have some kind of, if you don't like my tie, for example, that's why I don't wear a tie, but they look at your tie, they don't like your tie, and they complain, that's got to be reported. So I think that's a great way for people to, at the first thing that they do is just to check out their advisor, or the questions that they're asking, they can check to see if the advisor has any regulatory complaints or issues during his career. So it's FINRA.org, Broker Check, name, and you'll be able to see the complete record, like his resume, if you will, online under the regulatory body for financial advisors. So we also have something called 18 questions that you should ask your financial advisor, and that's one of them. But I'm not going to bore you with the other 17. But it's very important for people to ask questions that they may not know. So I like to give them a list of questions that they should be asking me. And again, through discovery and transparency, they'll get to know me a lot better when they go through these questions. But certainly, that's one of the most important ones that they can. They should ask, and they can investigate on their own.
Certainly appreciate those concluding remarks and advice. Much appreciated and most helpful as well. If listeners wanted to connect with you and get further information on Pollack Financial Group there in Montclair, New Jersey, where is the best place that they could find those details?
It's www.pollackfinancialgroup.com. That's spelled P as in Peter, O-L-L-A-C-K, Financial Group, all spelled out. .com. And when you arrive at my website, it'll say, it'll ask you, you got a life? You need a plan. So everyone's got a life and everyone needs a plan. So come and visit me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you tonight.
And I, as well as the listening audience, certainly appreciate your time as well. Again, folks, it is PollackFinancialGroup.com. Thanks so much, Mr. Pollack, for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Mr. Scott Pollack, the founder and managing partner of Pollack Financial Group, LLC, a wealth management firm that has been serving the Montclair, New Jersey community since 2005. And for all the details, simply visit PollackFinancialGroup.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.